Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. It's anniversary month at Watchmen on the Wall. 91 years ago, Southwest Radio Ministries was founded. In April 1933, our founder, Dr. E.F. Weber, declared for the first time that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. All this month, we have special programs planned and brand new resources to debut. This week, we're going into the radio vault to listen to some classic programs featuring E.F. Weber, Noah Hutchings, and David Weber. We'll also take an exciting look at the future of Watchmen on the Wall and SWRC. Today, our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, sits down with Edward Weber, the grandson of our founder, to discuss how Watchmen on the Wall came to be, the people who helped make it happen, and the lasting impact of the ministry founded 91 years ago.
This is Pastor Larry, and thank you, friends, for tuning in. I do want to thank all of our friends for their prayers and support. You make this ministry what it really is. This April, Southwest Radio Church is celebrating its 91st birthday. That's right. We've been around broadcasting the Word of God for 91 years. Now, we love Bible prophecy, but there are so many other topics that we deal with. Educational issues, political issues, which, by the way, are often moral issues and family issues. We are indeed Watchmen on the Wall, and we're an equipping ministry. We're not tied to any denomination or association of churches. Edward Weber and I, and also Kim Weber, will be reminiscing, sharing some of the things we remember from our past years and helping you to enter into the significance and joy of our 91st anniversary. Edward and Kim, it's so nice to be with you on the show.
It's nice to be here, Larry.
Well, Edward, your last name is Weber. Who was E.F. Weber?
E.F. was my grandfather. He was a pioneer preacher. Born in 1893, he founded this ministry in 1933. But before that, he was an orphan. At the age of five, he became an orphan, and he grew up in orphanages and foster homes. In 1918, he was age 25. He started his career as an evangelist in Oregon and soon affiliated himself with the Christian Missionary Alliance. He was ordained a Methodist minister in 1918, and his reputation grew as he traveled the United States and Canada with his revivals. He spent 5 months conducting services with Paul Rader from the Chicago Rader Tabernacle. In 1933, he settled down in Oklahoma City, where he got married to Lila Vesta, and he started his radio advertising. In addition to his ministries, he soon became a radio preacher on Sundays. And that show was called The Old Time Gospel. And I thought that was kind of funny because it's in 1933, he called it The Old Time Gospel Show.
Uh-huh.
And now it's 2024, I'm thinking Old Time Gospel, that's definitely old.
Well, Edward, where was E.F. Weber's first headquarters?
So that's a funny story. He worked out of his house. He and his wife and my dad, David Weber, and his brother, Charles, they all ran the ministry from the garage apartment at their house in Oklahoma City.
Tell us about, I think you had a Southwest Radio Church choir.
And this is where I would like to introduce my wife, Kim. She is the family historian, and she's been going over all this. She's got a really interesting story about the choir. Here's Kim Weber.
Hello, Kim.
Hello, Dr. Spargimino. Being a travel evangelist and Pastor E.F. wanted his radio family to experience what a full church service would be, but just through the radio. And so he loved music, he loved choir, he loved just the feeling that you got from a choir. And so the choir, we believe, is the same choir that was at his church, Calvary Tabernacle. I was not able to find a lot about the whole history of the choir, but what we did find out a lot of was about the Weber's choir. E.F. was a talented musician. He played the saxophone and the piano. Layla had a beautiful voice. Charles was also a very talented singer. Like E.F., David loved to sing and was talented in playing the piano and the organ. When the church started, he was actually preaching at a church, and it was kind of like their Sunday morning message. And so they already had a choir established at the Tabernacle Church. They brought the choir to the house so that everybody could experience the actual full service of church on the radio. EF was very talented where he could play horn music instruments. He was able to play the piano. Grandma Weber sang, and of course, David was a very talented musician as well. So he sang and he played the piano and the organ for the choir. And Charles was one that just accompanied them with voice. It was really quite a family ordeal. And then from time to time on the radio program, they would have the quartet from the church come out that sponsored different people. And one of the ways that I thought was very interesting for the radio to bring the songs to the people is that our listeners would write in and request a song, and then they would be able to play it over the radio during the preceding months.
Wow, that's very interesting. Well, I've been around for about a quarter of a century. I never did meet E.F. Weber, but I came to work with Noah Hutchings. How did Noah Hutchings come aboard and serve with this ministry for so many years?
Let's see, by the 1940s, the show had spread to 7 stations reaching over 5 states. He was gaining notoriety. He was gaining radio stations. People were hearing about him. So the ministry was growing. And he had put out an ad in the paper. Noah Hutchings tells this story a lot better than anybody else. If you know Noah Hutchings, he's got that southern draw, that Oklahoma City southern draw. And he just, the way he told stories was just amazing. So here's my version of Noah Hutchings' story. 1951, Noah Hutchings was right out of the military. He saw an ad in the paper for an accountant. In fact, he was going to take another job that he was waiting a couple weeks, and he thought he could do this accounting job just for a little bit of pay in the meantime. So he went and applied, and he talked to my grandfather, E.F. Weber, and E.F. said, "No, I'm not going to hire you, but do you want to go fishing?" Because my grandfather loved fishing. Of course, Noah Hutchings did too. They went fishing, and I don't think Noah Hutchings was a believer at that time. So my grandfather preached to him while they're fishing, and Noah Hutchings accepted the Lord, and grandfather hired him. And it just never looked back. Hutch was there ever since.
Amen. Wow, beautiful story. Well, Edward, I know that E.F. Weber was a great Bible teacher and leader, but after he passed away, there were some challenges and steep hills for the ministry. Tell us about that period in the life of Southwest Radio Church.
So unfortunately, I never got to meet my grandfather because he passed away in 1959, and I was born in 69. But when he did pass away, my father and my Uncle Charles and my grandmother, and with the help of Noah Hutchings, they did take over the ministry and they kept it going. And it was very difficult after the passing of E.F. Weber. But they kept it going. And I think Kim has a story about that also. Kim, do you have a story about them keeping it going?
Layla contributed a lot to E.F.'s ministry while he was still alive. She was involved in just supporting him, but more than that, she was involved in the day-to-day operations. When she wasn't busy raising the kids, she was there opening the mail. She was helping him answer letters. And of course, she was just a great source of encouragement to E.F. After he was called home, she picked up and did more in the ministry. She loved poetry, and she started having her poetry on the air, and she did a devotion that was on a weekly basis. It was said that her poetry encouraged hundreds of lady listeners. Before the homegoing of EF, Charles was the office manager at the ministry. When his dad passed away, he stepped up and became the president of the ministry. Him and David both became co-pastors in the ministry, preaching on the radio more and more. David, who loved to still sing and to worship the Lord, he did that as often as he could, but he also became a very gifted preacher and teacher. And so each member of the family had a part to pick up and play to replace the big hole that was left in the ministry when EF went home. One of the things that is very common in a ministry is when they lose the leader, that the financial support, it suffers. And Southwest was no different. In fact, in 1962, the ministry was in such a financial downfall that the family didn't know what to do. They were really thinking that they were going to have to go off the air on a permanent basis. I guess late October, they decided that God wanted them to be opened with the radio audience, so they wrote their first Thanksgiving letter. And in this letter, they talked about all of the amazing things that God had done to bless them throughout 1962. But then they were also real with them, and they let them know, we're struggling, that this is where our financial downfalls are. This is the struggles of the ministry, and literally laid it at the listeners' hands and told them, without support, without more money coming in, we're going to have to close our doors. And through the donations that came in, they got closer, but they still missed their keynote that they needed. And that's when Layla Weber decided that she was going to mortgage her house to use that money to help the ministry go on another year. Through those trials and those struggles is really how the heart of Southwest Radio came about and stayed alive after EF had passed.
Wow. Well, Edward, tell our listeners your memories growing up at Southwest Radio Church. I mean, tell us about the tours, the one-night meetings that you attended with your dad. That must have been a very interesting way of growing up.
It definitely was, Larry. Let's see, where do we start? I was born in 1969. I was adopted by the Weber family, Dr. David Weber, my father, the most amazing father ever, most loving, just adoring father you would ever meet. I was privileged to be able to travel with him on his meetings as he went to other cities and states where he preached and met people. And I was able to go just about to every state in the country. I went to Canada. I got to go to Israel several times with him on tours. I remember one time we were in Washington, D.C. We were having meetings. And then, of course, the National Religious Broadcasting Convention was there. So we go there. He's busy with meetings all day long. And, you know, back in the 80s, a 10-year-old, you can kind of leave them on their own and not worry about them as much as you do today. So I remember just going around the NRV convention, just running around. I go into different rooms, and one room is Jerry Falwell, and I go up and he gives me this big hug. Another room is like Sandy Patty, and I get to hear her sing a little bit, or Pat Boone's in another room. It was just amazing. Amazing time traveling around with Dad.
Wow. What a blessing. Well, friends, Edward, Kim Weber, and I are going to continue to talk about the past. But before we do that, let me ask for your prayers. Yes, we covet your prayers for this ministry. Southwest Radio Church has always been on the cutting edge, and we do a lot of cutting. We are completely politically incorrect. That's our calling. Now, we do have a lot of friends, and we certainly covet your prayers and your financial support as the Lord leads you. So we do have a lot of friends, and I should add, we also have a lot of enemies, and I think that is a good thing. You know, you can tell a lot about a ministry by its enemies, and I think we have the right enemies, but one thing is for sure, they are not helping us, and they're not supporting us, so that's where our friends come in. We certainly covet your prayers. You're giving. We're not asking for any particular amount. Ask the Lord what he would have you to give. God loves a cheerful giver. And so as you participate with us, as you help us, as you pray for us, as you give as the Lord enables, you are helping to keep this ministry on the air and also to grow. We have many things, many more things that we would love to do. And by the way, while we're in a pause mode, let me tell you about our resource center. You can find it on our website, swrc.com. We have books and tapes and videos, and I could say a lot about each of our books, but let me mention a few. We have the book Impossibilities by E.F. Weber, adapted for devotional study by Kim Weber, who's on this broadcast with us. We have a couple of books on the cross, on Golgotha. We have a book titled American Bible Prophecy by Donald Perkins. Brother Perkins is a powerful evangelist and prophetic preacher. You will love his work. One of our newer books is by our evangelist and staff member Josh Davis titled Rise of the One World Mind. This takes you to the heart of one of the most dangerous movements in the world today. Where are these globalists coming from? Why do they hate America? And why do they hate you and me? A really great book by Josh Davis, Rise of the One World Mind. Now, I have a new book which is being proofread right now. It will be available to our listeners shortly. It's about Israel and about God's unchanging purposes regarding the land and the people. The book is titled The Abraham Proclamation, Hamas, Apostate America, and Conflict with God. You know, the anti-Semitism in the world today is tragic. People often say Israel needs America. Let's put that more sharply in focus. America needs Israel. So if you would like to get a book or a tape, or if you'd like more information about Southwest Radio Church, give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Our mailing address is SWRC Box 835, Bluff City, Tennessee, 37618. Now, friends, I understand Edward has some questions that he wants to ask me. So, Edward, here I am.
Larry Spargimino, how are you today?
Oh, Edward, I'm doing very well.
Very good.
I'm enjoying this chat with you and Kim.
Let me ask you a few questions today. How did you come to Oklahoma City to serve with Noah Hutchings and Southwest Radio Ministry?
Well, you know, when I pastored in Tennessee, Southwest Radio Church president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, and I were neighbors. Can you imagine that? I always listened to Southwest Radio Church, to the broadcast. I got to love this ministry.
E.F. Weber, when he began this ministry, he began preaching as a patriotic ministry, a Bible prophecy ministry, and an end times, the Lord is coming soon, get ready ministry. Is this what brought you to the ministry? Do you remember this?
Well, you know, I did not always believe that the Bible spoke about future things. I was basically a partial preterist. In fact, I have a book on preterism. But after I became a futurist and came to see that there are signs of the times all around us, that opened my eyes to many things. And a lot of the things that were happening in our country, I noticed were very, very evil. And I wondered why nobody was speaking against these things. And then I found Southwest Radio Church, and guess what? That ministry was telling the truth. That ministry was speaking about all the things that were happening. And so I said, wow, here's a ministry that is dealing with relevant issues, that's dealing with current events, that knows what they're talking about. They have a lot of guests on that you don't hear on other radio ministries, on other platforms. So I really came to love Southwest Radio Church, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
That's great, Larry. I remember when I was young, I came to the ministry. I was probably 6 years old. I'd come in the office, and Noah, Dr. Hutchings, announced the office. Edward's here, look out, because I was a spoiled, rotten little kid. I really was. So did you have some experiences with Noah Hutchings? Well, what's a funny story with Noah Hutchings that you remember?
Well, Noah Hutchings was, of course, a very different kind of a ministry leader. He was from Southeast Oklahoma. He had a lot of homespun stories. He was a patriotic American who had served as an anti-aircraft gunner in the South Pacific during World War II. And he spoke of the usefulness of computers in warfare. In fact, there was a computer back in his day that could calculate point of aim for an anti-aircraft gunner. That was back in the 1940s. So he was on top of all kinds of things. He loved to talk about spiritual warfare. He personally saw a UFO. He was years ahead of his time in realizing that UFOs were not Martians or people from another galaxy, but that these beings were from another dimension. Now, I do want to tell one thing about his fishing. He was an amazing fisherman. You know, I like to fish, and I would go fishing with Dr. Hutchings and his wife, Kim Key, on Lake Eufaula. There was a small peninsula that jutted out into the lake that was known only to the locals. It was on a dirt road. Outsiders knew nothing about it, but it was popular with local fishermen. Well, I was fishing, and it happened a couple of times, and sometimes no one was catching any fish. We were all skunked, but Noah Hutchings was pulling in catfish left and right. It was the strangest thing. Nobody even had a nibble, but Noah Hutchings was catching all these catfish. And so other fishermen tried to do the same kind use the same kind of bait that he was using, but it didn't make any difference. They would watch the kind of hook that Noah used, and they used the same kind of hook, but no one caught any fish. Some tried to fish deep, like Noah sometimes did. Some fishermen used different baits, but there were days when no one caught any fish except Noah Hutchings. Some said it must have been something about his hands. Maybe his fingers had some kind of an oil on it, so, you know, they claim maybe when he touched the bait, it did something. Others claimed that this became quite popular, I found, that he must have put some spittle on the bait. So everyone was watching Noah, but he never, as far as I could tell, put spittle on the bait. So one of these days, someone is going to write a book on the mystery of Noah Hutchings and his success in catching catfish. And I think that's a story that when I tell it even now, it brings a smile to my face. It was really amazing.
I agree totally, Larry. I've been fishing with Dr. Hutchings and my dad several times, and he did catch a lot of fish. And it was a great sight to see him do that. So what do you like about some of the new features, new staff, new ideas that Southwest Radio is implementing? I know when I started working at the ministry, in 1985, there was a cassette duplicating room. There was a computer room that was as big as any office you've ever seen. And we had typesetters. We had probably 50 people on staff to do the work that it takes 20 now. What do you think of the new things that are going on here?
Well, we're on many more platforms than ever before. That means we are more accessible to listeners, and I think that's really very important. We've increased the staff. We have some new staff members who are writing and broadcasting, Clayton Van Huss and his knowledge of archaeology. Josh Davis, our staff evangelist, is an excellent teacher and writer. His studies and articles are always insightful and very, very fresh. I love Greg Patton, who knows a lot about spiritual warfare in all of its ugliness, and he's written on Satan's war on the saints. He's a dear brother, a tremendous speaker who knows how to make a point, and he brings it all to us in such a wonderful way. Living in today's world puts a lot of things in perspective. So I think we're on the right track. I think we're growing. And of course, as we grow, we need more prayers and we need more funds. And I think that's something for our listeners to think about. I know many are enjoying these additions, but we have to remember, yes, there's an added responsibility on all of us.
Amen. I realize that Noah Hutchings has an autobiography. Oh my goodness, how many stories of Southwest Radio Church in his life are in that one? And my Uncle Charles has a book, Golgotha, Three Crosses, compiled by my wife, Kim Weber, and it's available. And we didn't really talk about much about Charles. He became president of the Southwest Radio Church when my grandfather died. And he passed away as a young man in 1964. That's when my dad took over. My dad took over. He was here for 35 years. And we recently released a book he's written on the Olivet Discourse. And I think this one is going to hit home to you, Brother Larry. Because you and Noah Hutchings did programs in 2010. I think you did it like almost a whole week on the Olivet Discourse. We're going to play this on April 17th, your program you did with Noah Hutchings, and offer the book my dad wrote on the Olivet Discourse. Do you remember talking about the Olivet Discourse with Noah Hutchings in 2010?
Yes, it was a great study that we did, and I think certainly, after having become a futurist from preterism, I know we were both passionate in the show because these were, in a sense for me, new things that I had discovered, but Noah had believed them all along. So I think we did quite an amazing number of shows, and they were very exciting, and they had a passion and a fire in them.
We're looking forward to hearing that again. Brother Lair, what is your view on the modern church in America? Do you think it needs some changes?
Well, Edward, I believe it does. I believe the modern church needs to engage the culture and speak to the culture prophetically. Some pastors want to do that. But you know, Edward, so many times the congregation and even the leadership will say something like, oh, we should not be getting into politics. I think that's a cop-out. The major political issues today are moral issues. So, of course, the church needs to speak prophetically about moral issues. For example, is protecting your children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord just a political issue? Do you think that parents have the right to ask a school to remove pornography from the library and from school curricula and things that are not appropriate for children? Is that right for parents to do that? Should parents be concerned about what their kids are being taught? Of course, yes, many times yes. But you know, a recent Fox News report is titled, quote, "The Biden administration is weaponizing a federal agency to block parents' efforts at removing pornography from school." Can you imagine that? Our First Lady, Jill Biden, actually compared parents who want certain books removed to Nazis. So if you're a parent who attends a school board meeting and you speak up and you want a book to be banned, you are a Nazi. Furthermore, if the schools don't comply and actually force the removal of smut, those school districts will not receive federal funding. That's right, friends, because parents do what they should be doing, the school will be deprived of federal funding. So I ask you, who are the Nazis? Is it the parents who are concerned about their kids, or is it our Biden administration? One of the things I think that we really need to get into is not to be afraid to deal with modern political issues. Actually, they were originally moral issues, but then some people on the left turned them into political issues. So if you speak on those moral issues, people say, oh no, you're getting into politics. Well, friends, they were originally moral issues, and we have every right and every need to address those issues, to edify the saints, to help families be the kind of families that God wants them to be, and to be a blessing to little boys and girls who are being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Brother Larry. That is definitely one thing I'm very proud of this ministry for. Over 91 years, when my grandfather started it, as a fundamentalist and a patriot, he often focused on the times, the politics, the what was going on. I mean, he took on communism back in the 40s, in between World War I and World War II. He was never afraid to be political and talk about morals and ethics. Thank you, Brother Larry, for today.
All right. Thank you for you and Kim for being on the air together with me.
To commemorate our anniversary month, we have several special resources to share. Three special devotional books that will encourage you and your faith. First, our founder E.F. Weber explores that nothing is impossible with God or for God in the book entitled Impossibilities. Up next, Charles Weber examines the significance of the trio crucified in the booklet Golgotha's Three Crosses. And finally, Dr. David Weber presents a collection of teachings on the parables of the Olivet Discourse. All three devotional books are available today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order these outstanding devotionals at our website, swrc.com. Impossibilities by E.F. Weber, Golgotha's Three Crosses by Charles Weber, and the Olivet Discourse by David Weber. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we head inside the radio vault for a special message from 1955. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app, by visiting oneplace.com, or by simply subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.